Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to the Anavision podcast. This is our EXT episode on Overwatch. I am Jero, joined by Steve.
Yo, yo, yo.
And XCOM.
Hello.
Overwatch has been a huge hit. Just seems like it's taken over all of gaming with how popular it is. You see people playing the game everywhere. The game is on TV commercials. There's fan art all over the place. Overwatch is a huge success, and it's just been a couple of weeks since the game has been fully out. So today, Steve, XCOM, and I have played quite a few hours combined of Overwatch, and so we're going to talk about the game and our thoughts on the structure of the game, the many characters, and more. So let's get started with a big question about our experience of quick play. If you're on an attacking team, the very likely scenario is that you're going to see multiple Torbjorns, multiple Bastions, lots of turrets everywhere. And in Battleborn, in the limited time that I played it, you are confined to having one character per a team, so you can't have five Fawns, although Fawn is a really difficult character to use. Not the best example. But should we see Overwatch go to a model where you can only select one character per team?
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that for ranked matches.
Yeah, I think quick play, that's why I'm actually looking really forward to competitive play and kind of seeing the restrictions on it, because quick play, it's quick play, and you kind of deal with it. But in competitive play, I'm expecting a lot better.
They already actually talked about that. They were talking about how they were going to be just changing up competitive play and making sure that it is, you know, they're following some guidelines, like as you said, character limitations and stuff like that. As for quick play, I think it's a kind of like a double-edged sword for me, because I understand the argument that this is just regular play. This is quick play. It's casual. We don't need these kind of restrictions. But my argument is, because I'm actually for this, I'm for them restricting characters. And my main argument is because the more you play this game and the longer this game is, and this is something that we're starting to see more and more as you play the game, as people get, not necessarily better, but understanding how the game works more, you start seeing them abuse the double character system. You start seeing multiple Bastions. You start seeing multiple Torbjorns. Even today, before we started recording, or this afternoon, I was playing some, and it was five of us, so we were a pretty coordinated team. Yeah. We got into a lobby where it was King of the Hill mode, where it's got one area and both teams have to fight for it. And they came in at us with two Junkrats. Can you imagine the grenade spam of two Junkrats? And that's, we were sitting there getting frustrated with each other, going, this is stupid, because one of them was just launching them through the window, because this was on the tower map.
Yeah, Legion Tower, yeah.
Exactly. So one was just randomly throwing them through the window, and then another one was shooting them in there. And it was just like you went in there and you were getting spammed with grenades. And it was a huge issue. And encountering one Junkrat isn't hard, really. You get maybe a soldier or, a Widowmaker, and you come around and you snipe them, and you'd be done with it. But when you tried to do that when there was two, all of a sudden you had two of them shooting grenades at you, and it was almost an impossible defeat, and it was so frustrating. And that's just the most recent example of trouble. I mean, how many times do you run around and, me and Jero saw this last night. We played against three Torbjorns, and when one of them used Molten Core – and it ran out. We were like, okay, we can charge now. We charged in, and the other one used Molten Core. And so we died, and they were like, okay, that one went out, charge in. And then the third one used Molten Core. And then by the time the third one used Molten Core, the first one had his Molten Core again. So it was just like a constant battle of really annoying. and really hard to deal with because there were so many characters. And I know you can say, well, what if you nerf the turrets? What if you nerf these characters? You know, it's just, it's one of those things where even characters that don't need nerfing, yeah, suddenly you throw two of the same characters on there, and it becomes really hard. I mean, even something as simple as two Reinhardts. Now you have a guy's, how much does Reinhardt's shields absorb? Like 2,000 damage or something? Mm-hmm. Now you have to deal 4,000 damage to get rid of the shields. I mean, that is a ridiculous amount of damage. And so there's an inherent kind of unbalance when you have two characters of the same type.
Yeah.
And there's no easy way to counter that. And that's kind of why I stand in the side of one character per game, because it just makes things more – it makes things simpler and manageable. And you don't also have those idiots that, like, you join, you pick Genji or you pick D.Va, and then this guy goes, I want D.Va, so they pick D.Va. Now you having to fight with two D.Vas, and it's like, we don't need two D.Vas on our team, and so you have to switch. So – I just think it would make a better experience. That's all.
And I think what we're going to talk about the classes of characters: attack, defense, tank, and support. And I think the general theme is that for the most part, each character is balanced pretty well. It's the combinations and the not so much the combinations, but the duplicates that really frustrate. That Torbjorn example is really frustrating because there's just no reasonable way to make a push.
To be fair, though, there are some characters that I do believe that are very well balanced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite. There's just maybe a few that really need to be looked at as far as the nerfing. And we'll get to that. So let's talk about attack characters. And, you know, on the subject of balancing, McCree is a character that truly does need to be looked at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've already talked about it, and I do think that that's something that is definitely that. I mean, that's got to happen. I mean, his combo where he just stuns you and then fan the hammer you. It's just it's ridiculous. I mean, even in general, like again, playing today, and someone had 20 out of 24 kills were fan the hammer.
Yeah,
I mean. When it's that much of a crutch for that character, or just using that ability is where it wins you the game, or at least, you know, becomes such a hassle to deal with. It's just a problem, in my opinion. And I think most of the characters in this game are very well balanced, but there are a handful that really need it.
Yeah, and let's explain what the problem actually is with McCree, is that he takes out tanks on his own way too easily. When really, like, maybe Reaper should be more in that mold.
My problem isn't just tanks, though. Because a good McCree, and we fought some people that were good McCrees, they can literally run up to you and even a regular character melt you in half a second flat.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't be able to do that. A good, like, no character should melt any other regular character that quickly. I mean, and that's just not even talking about tanks. Like, if you run around as, say, Symmetra, you know, 200 health, if someone can walk up to you and kill you by pressing one button, there's a problem.
It's actually a two-button combo.
Well, I'm not even talking about the two-button combo. I'm just talking about fan to hammer in general.
You think they need to increase the reticle on it? So, like, that there's less accuracy with it?
Decrease the damage. Increase the cooldown.
And recoil.
Well, I think what Chris said makes more sense. Make it so that there's a much wider spread. So that if you do it, you have like a huge area where you have to hit them. So you literally have to be docking with the character for it to actually, you know, get all six shots on them at once. Like, I always felt like Fan the Hammer was that thing where if you get someone close and they're almost dead, you can like spray them and get as many shots on them as you can. Instead, it turned into like the one hit wonder kill machine, and you can spam it as many times as you want because there is no cooldown other than reload. which is the problem. There should be a cooldown to it. Your hand should hurt after doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it like 10 seconds on the stun grenade or something like that?
Yeah, the stun grenade's got like a 10-second timer. I don't really think the stun grenade is overpowered. Some people think it is.
I don't think the stun grenade's overpowered, but the problem is probably the fact that they can be used together very effectively. Because that stun grenade and fan the hammer is pretty much an insta-kill for most characters. But the question is that really something to be nerfed if that's like how you play McCree? And not just McCree, like certain characters where like they're designed to play a certain way. When we become too effective at using a character that way, should they be nerfed, or should we just find a better way to counter them?
That's the thing. And this is where I think it comes in, is when does something become too easy and when does something become skill? For instance, excuse me, I kind of relate back to Call of Duty. Okay? Call of Duty is, there's something in Call of Duty that used to take a lot of skill and was a lot of fun until one Call of Duty kind of ruined it, when really it was only, you know, in COD 4. Quickscoping. Quickscoping in COD 4 was a true challenge and a treat. When you did it, you felt accomplished, you felt great, you felt awesome. And a good quickscoper could own the crap out of people. That's one thing. In Modern Warfare 2, they made it so any noob with a gun, any noob, like literally it took you 5 minutes to master quickscoping because it basically was a straight shot. So everyone quickscoped, everyone felt awesome, and it became one of the annoying things about Modern Warfare 2, you know, that commando lunges. When it becomes too easy, that's the problem. Take something like Genji, someone we haven't talked about just yet. Genji is not overpowered at all. But me and J-Ro can attest. Yeah. You give someone who played Genji a lot that's freaking really good with him, he will seem overpowered because that person kicks ass. I mean, mm-hmm. We come up with some people that played like 14 hours. One time it was 34 hours alone on Genji out of like 40 hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like insane, and he was really good at it. And that's something where it becomes skill over anybody can do it. I mean, you see McCree's running around all the time. Doesn't matter if they played him. I saw someone run around with him and had him for 1 hour. You know, game time, and he was wrecking everybody because he was using the stupid fan to hammer combo. And that's easy to master. Once you do it for a game or two, you kind of learn how it works,
mm-hmm.
and then you start melting people. And that's a problem. It shouldn't be that easy to master.
Yeah, I guess the general theme that we're going to be talking about when it comes to balancing is that we don't want to nerf some characters in the ground. I think we just want to sort of increase the skill requirement for using that character.
Exactly.
I'll get to that with like Torbjorn later, but how about some mm-hmm. of the other attack characters? Tracer, Cover Girl, Pharah.
I really think a lot of the other all the other characters, again, are very well balanced. You know, Tracer, obviously, again, you put Tracer into the hands of someone that really knows how to use Tracer will be annoying, but they're mm-hmm. They're killable. You know, they're pretty squishy characters. They have 150 health. You knock them down pretty fast.
Yes, but they're so fast.
Oh, yeah. And you know, even Reaper to an extent. Reaper, I would say, is fairly easy to use. And I think that's kind of his design. I don't necessarily think he is overpowered at all.
Mm-hmm.
Let me first say Reaper is probably the most satisfying to kill during his ultimate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's yelling at you, die, 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 and you're like, no, you die, bitch. No, I would say if there was one thing about Reaper I would change, it would be to either increase the cooldown of his, like, invincibility kind of, you know, GTFO move.
Yeah.
Or decrease the time or the time he gets to use it. Like, don't give him as long, because I will say that gets kind of frustrating when you're fighting McCree and all of a sudden, you know, he instantly, you know, does his invincibility and he flies away where you can't get him or goes over a health pack while invincible to gain the health. I don't necessarily think that's overpowered, but I wouldn't I don't think it would hurt anyone if you, like as I said, either decrease the length, how long he can do that for, or just increase the cooldown by even if a couple seconds. I think it would just be a little bit easier.
I didn't even know he could take items while in that form. I would take that ability away.
Yeah, well, I mean, that ability I think is almost there for him for a reason because, you know, he has the kind of passive ability where he can, when you kill a character, you get souls.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
And it gives you 50 health points.
So I do think, like,
talking about med packs, like being able to phase away into a med pack, I didn't realize you could do that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that's the problem. I think the problem comes in when they're doing it so quickly, and it seems like you get in a gunfight with him, you're almost guaranteed to have him do it to you once, and you know, and that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it seems like if you're playing as a Roadhog, and this can happen also against Mei, where the Roadhog will tag you, and if it doesn't get a clean shot on you, you can just either get away with Reaper or freeze yourself with Mei.
And so, yeah,
and as a Roadhog player, that can be frustrating.
Yeah, but I think, like, other than that, a lot of the other attack characters are so very well balanced. Soldier, you know, Soldier's actually been a character I've been playing a lot over the last couple days. I just like him. I feel like he's, you know, obviously he's a COD guy, but he's the most balanced of them. And that really shows at times. Pharah can be very annoying to deal with, but trying to play as her can definitely be difficult because you have to really know how to time your rockets. So, I mean, obviously you can just, you know, shoot them and do a lot of splash damage. Not exactly a hard character to use, but once you get good at them, you know, it can be very annoying. But again, not overpowered, I'd say. At least, you know, obviously the character could be tweaked, but I don't think, you know, it's as for the sake of the game, I think she's perfectly fine. So.
Yeah, like there's no issue with her blast radius being too wide or anything like that on her rockets. And she's good for jumping up above and kind of working on turrets a little bit. Anybody that's trying to snipe in the back.
So, see, and that's why I think one reason why she's so good too is because, you know, she is someone that can counter things like turrets and bastions and and especially Symmetra turrets, which can definitely be very annoying. But you get a good Pharah in there, she'll wipe all your turrets out in 3 seconds flat. So, you know, I think it's really just McCree and maybe a little bit of a Reaper tweak, but I really do. Other than that, I really like playing a lot of the attack characters. Tracer is probably my fourth or fifth most played character. I admit I played her a lot at the beginning and not a lot recently, but she is a lot of fun to play. So
yeah. I got to start using Reaper more for kind of what I would guess is his intended purpose, which is kind of get behind enemy lines and try and, you know, get behind the enemy. Like in King's Row, you can use his teleport to get behind him and on the point without having to deal with a lot of snipers or turrets or whatnot.
And that's actually the funny thing, I think. When you look at a lot of these attack characters, you know, Genji, McCree, Pharah, Reaper, and Tracer, all those characters are very much the don't really go head on. You know, Pharah, stay up in the sky. McCree, gonna get to the side, wipe out characters. You know, Genji's the same. Be the annoying character that's flanking. Same with Tracer. But Soldier's like the only real attack character that should be in the front lines, being, you know, being that guy that's just shooting everybody to death. So I do feel like that's a little bit interesting when you kind of look at it that way. But yeah.
All right, so let's move on to defense. We have play of the Bastion. Very powerful character, but I think in time, as players have played the game more, they've learned more to... there's still stuff about Bastion that needs to be looked at, but I think in general, it's become easier for us to manage Bastion players. Because for a lot of smart Bastion players, there's a lot of dumb Bastion players. Me and XCOM were playing a game on Temple of Anubis, and you know, you go up, we were attacking, you go up to that door, there were two Bastions in that well behind. They thought they were just going to constantly kill us staying in that well area. Of course, we go in and we easily wreck them, take over the point. And then they camp. There were two bastions that camped, you know, as you're approaching sort of like the B point, like the door. They're in this room on the right side, attacking both of these idiots. Bastions, just so dumb. But the thing about Bastion that gets in plays of the game so much is that there are times where enemies, you know, Temple of Anubis being a good example, where people are, in a way, kind of forced to funnel in to this one choke point. And with a 200-round magazine turret that, with no recoil, does a lot of damage, can wreck a Reinhardt tank pretty quickly. Not Reinhardt, his shield pretty quickly. And a lot of enemies just, you know, funnel in, and Bastion kills them and gets played.
Yeah, when you're up against a dumb team, they'll just keep coming.
And that's the thing about Bastion. I agree with you completely. I think Bastion, as time went on, Bastion definitely, when you first started playing this game, was that annoying SOB that you just, you're a Bastion player, kind of, you know? And I still think that to a certain extent, he's definitely a lot easier to counter. But I do think there's some easy ways to tweak his character, and they do need to be tweaked still. Yep. You know, obviously dropping his ammo count and increasing the load time. So in other words, are they reload?
Yeah.
So I think those are the two things. You know, he has what, 200 rounds? Maybe give him 150, and at least double the reload time.
Yeah.
Make it so it takes a while to reload him.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I would really want to see changed is his how fast he gets the super. It's a little ridiculous how fast Bastion can get a super because he earns it just by shooting at other players and making contact. And that could even mean something like as little as shooting a shield on Reinhardt.
Yeah.
So, you know, that should definitely be increased, because we shouldn't. I think it was in one game we were playing, I'm not sure if it was last night or today, we played a Bastion that had gotten his super three times in the span of a minute. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like he was wrecking us. He just happened to get it a lot. And it was like, I was sitting there like, that's way too much. That's way too quickly. And sometimes you get your super back, or, you know, part of your super back if someone dies while using it. Yeah. But not all characters have that advantage. So I would almost be for, you know, if you mess up your super, that's 50. Right. You know, don't give them that 50%. Yeah. Give them back to zero. It's your super. Time it right or punish them. Don't be like, oh, well, I'm sorry. You can have half your super back for not getting any kills or for dying right after activating it.
And the thing about the game is, I think, you know, maybe we should touch on some finer points of the game, is that there is no simple KD ratio or anything. There's just eliminations. You could do as little as 2 damage to somebody and get an elimination. And the game encourages you to be active and on fire. And some characters like Bastion, it's very easy to be active in the fight, whereas with some characters it can be a little difficult, like unless you're a really good Hanzo or a really good Widowmaker, sometimes it's difficult to build up your ult as fast as some of those characters.
Yeah, and that's really what needs, I think, more of the finer tweaks in the game are looking at some of these ults and adjusting them, because, as you said, some characters just get it way too fast. I mean, Hanzo, holy crap, how many times can he shoot his stupid little arrow? Yeah. I will admit, his arrow is a little bit easier to counter. I've even countered his arrow with D.Va once, and I kind of laughed at that. But more than likely, he got 50% back anyway, so big whoop. But like for him, it just seems kind of ridiculous, because, again, he's another character where in a span of 30 seconds, he can have it, you know, 2 times easily. And that's ridiculous. You shouldn't be seeing supers that quickly, unless there may be a very passive super, Mercy super, or even Lucio's super, where, you know, it gives everyone health. You know, something that doesn't really do killing, I could see earning it faster. But, you know, if your super kills people, you shouldn't be getting it so often. So, you know, and Hanzo's another character where I don't think he needs tweaking, but damn, does he have big hitboxes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was an article on Kotaku about how generous some of the hitboxes are for...
There's a whole video about it. Yeah. You can actually just look at it. And, like, you'll see a Hanzo, like, clear an... Like, you can shoot, like, a... Like, there's one guy that shot, like, clearly above the guy and got a headshot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't be sitting there thinking you're some badass Hanzo because you're wrecking people. The hitboxes are a little too generous for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, and it's really interesting seeing some of the other characters. Just looking at the defense list, we're talking a lot about Bastion. Junkrat, I think he's perfectly fine. I do think he gets his super a little too quickly. Again, it's a little easy to earn his super because you can just spam those grenades like crazy, and as long as you're doing damage, you're earning your super.
Yeah.
Widowmaker. I know on PC there's problems, but we play on console, and I think she's perfectly fine on consoles.
Yeah.
May, she needs a little bit of a nerf. I don't necessarily think her health is a problem. I think two things I would nerf with May would just be simply reduce the ammo in her freeze gun. Because I think it's like 200.
Yeah.
And you can fire that thing for like a straight 30 seconds without reloading.
Or just like 8 icicle snipes.
Yeah. Maybe like knock that down to 150 or something. Just a little bit. And also the only other thing I'd really nerf with her is the how much health you get back from using your little ice, enclosure thing. Because, like, that's kind of the big problem with Mei. She uses that, and she gains all 250 of her health back. That's a little ridiculous. I would see that as, you know, maybe half the health she should get back from using that ability.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, then, of course, there's the Torbjorn, which we could probably have an hour's talk on him. Yeah. I think as the game has gone on, Torbjorn has been the true problem in this game. More so than even McCree.
I've played 6 hours of Torbjorn. He's my most played character. I'm pretty balanced in the characters. I have some 5s and 4s. But I think a lot of my Torbjorn play is kind of retaliation for the frustration of attacking. And we
do it all the time. We go, hey, let's be super virgins. These assholes just creamed us with 3 Torbjorns. Let's come back at them.
Yeah. And Torbjorn himself, I think, is fine. I think his gun is really cool. I think it's quite rewarding to hit a tracer with a headshot with his gun because that's a headshot kill on a tracer. And his shotgun is good. Maybe a little bit on, you know, the spread might need to be increased a little bit there. But his turret is the thing that's the most frustrating. And there's two elements to it that should be looked at. One, I don't know if there's an actual blast radius or not. I feel like if it could see you from the other side of the map, it would shoot at you perfectly with 100% accuracy. So the accuracy thing is one thing, but just being able to see you, because I had a really frustrating moment where I was a Widowmaker, and Widowmakers and Hanzos can be pretty good at taking out these turrets, but it was in the perfect angle where I had to get this small little sliver of space where I could see it. But it could see me, and it was shooting at me and was doing a lot of damage as a level 2, and I was just getting so frustrated, and there's other stuff going on around, so that's really frustrating. And also, its turn radius is speed of light fast.
I think you also can add the how fast it locks on to people, because as a tracer, now, if they really limit the turn, like, I think you can give it a 180, so take off the back end of the turret. Make it so it can't flip all the way around. That would be fine. But then I would still decrease the lock-on time. Like, with a tracer, it'll track you before you're around a corner blinking, which is stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll shoot you while you blink. That's how accurate it is. It shouldn't be that accurate.
Yeah.
And so definitely kind of limiting that. And again, kind of back to that whole super discussion. Definitely, like,
his super gives him everything.
I think if one super needs to be nerfed in this game, Torbjorn is the prime example of that. Because not only do you need to decrease the time it takes, you need to decrease the health that the turret gets, and the health that, well, Torbjorn health, okay, maybe not as big of an issue, but the turret health is a huge issue because that turret becomes stupidly strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just overall needs a nerf. Like, I think Torbjorn more than any character needs that nerf.
Turret placement should be smart. It shouldn't just be put it in a spot and the turret will be better than the person that's playing as Torbjorn. The CPU is a little too smart in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like on the Hollywood map. They just sit there and they stick it on the frickin' elevator, goes up and down, and the turret becomes a moving target, hard to hit with 100% accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
I do think they should make those environments unplaceable.
If so, if something is moving, you can't put it on there?
Yeah, because in Volskaya, it gets really annoying with the turrets on the rotating things.
Mm. Well, I like to put the turret on the car.
I think that it's fine if it's moving, as long as they nerf the turret. Because if they nerf the range, and if they nerf the turn radius and how long it takes, I think in general it'll take easier to take out, and you wouldn't necessarily want to put it on that little rotating thing because it would become less effective. So I think there are ways to easily kind of quash that if you kind of address the other issues.
Any other thoughts on defense characters? I'm trying to get good with Widowmaker on console.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
It frustrates me when you play Widowmaker or when we're doing Anubis. I want to sit there and yell at him. I'm going to be like, get on the point, J-Ro. Yeah,
my thought is,
they're sniping from far away. We're all sitting there on the point.
Well, my thought is, I know they're going to put turrets up. So I need to find a spot where I can take care of the turrets behind the Reinhardt shield or something. So that's why I always start.
True.
That's the thing. Not everybody can, like, focus on the objective, which is kind of a double-edged sword, because somebody has to focus on the objective. And usually when I'm playing, and I'm not playing with you guys, I'm like the only one focused on the objective, and everybody else is doing like their side things, and I'm like, you know, this is not a kill game.
It's an objective.
Here's what I would recommend for Widowmaker players, people who really love play Widowmaker. When your entire team is pushing the objective and is standing on the objective and really trying to fight it, take a step back take a step back from being back and get on the point with us. That's my thing. It's like, she has a gun she can shoot, obviously not as effective as sniping, but when we're trying to capture the point, sometimes it's just annoying when there's one person standing back sniping, and the more people on the point, the faster the point gets taken. So it's just that's my
concern. Widowmaker is vulnerable with up close combat.
Yeah, which is why I think a better suggestion would be to watch the point at which enemies are coming from, if they're mm-hmm. respawning, whether they have a teleporter or something. Find a safe, because there are areas like Temple of Anubis where you can get up on a second or third level and kind of watch those areas.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on to tanks. We have D.Va, Reinhardt, Roadhog, Winston, and Zarya.
I've been trying to play Zarya lately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not that great with her, but she can be a powerhouse, just like any of the other tanks.
I have another example of having two Zaryas is too many Zaryas.
Yeah,
because
effectively four players can be shielded.
Were you there with that game today?
There was another game like a week or so ago.
There was a game today where we were playing, and there was two Zaryas, and they just, as you said, four shields came running in at us, and just, like, we couldn't do anything, like, because they kept activating those stupid shields, and, like, I love Zarya. I'm not saying she's overpowered, I'm just saying two of them become such a huge hassle, and, like, one time, like, one shield would fail on Zarya, and the second Zarya would put her shield on that Zarya, mm-hmm. and it was just... Oh, it was so annoying. But I do like her. Zarya is probably one of my second favorite tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zarya is an incredible super enabler. Like if you coordinate it right, which I feel like we've yet to do with Zarya, is that, you know, you put a sticky bomb in there, you put Justice Reigns from above on there. Yeah, it can be really powerful. I did get kind of annoyingly, I got killed by a Bastion in his ult that had gotten caught in Zarya's ult. I was like, oh my god, it's so dumb.
D.Va, I'll just go out and say it, is my favorite character. Oh, I love D.Va so much. I do, you know, people are always saying, oh, she needs a buff, she needs this. We talked about her a lot, so I won't get too much into her again.
Really? She needs a buff? Like, how so?
I think she could use two kind of buffs. First off, either A, increase the damage of her guns, or slash, increase the rate of fire, one of those two. Or B, let her move faster while shooting. Because there are a lot of characters, when they get close to you with D.Va, that become so annoying to deal with because they're zipping around you so much. Mm-hmm. And she kind of gets melted pretty quickly. People say you need to increase her health. I don't think so. Because she ejects out of her mech so much, you can run around and earn her mech back. I don't necessarily think she needs more health. I do think, though, she could use – I would be more for the mobility thing. I think if you can move faster while shooting, it would just be a lot more to deal – a lot easier to deal with. And finally, I would decrease the timer on her explosion, because how rare is it to get an explosion kill now? It's super rare. Her, I mean, basically, her ultimate's pretty much, let's push them off the point.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get rid of this turret.
Yeah. And that's kind of sad. Mm-hmm. I think if you do decrease the timer, it would just do so much better. I had a really good quote and I completely forgot it. I was watching a streamer play D.Va, and he was kind of bitching about that too. He was making a joke like, oh, let me use my ult and get zero kills. No, I remember now. Here's what he said. So a D.Va, he was playing D.Va too. An enemy D.Va used her ult, right? And it came in on him. And he said, I'm so glad I had enough time to turn around, look at it, comprehend what was going on, turn back around, and get away. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what happens with her. Yeah. So, you know, I think if you decrease that timer, her ultimate would be just a little more effective. In fact, I feel super lucky. And, you know, if they never change that, I feel super lucky that I got the achievement early on that says get four people with one D.Va blast. I doubt that's ever going to happen again, mm-hmm. unless you get super lucky or a really random full team that's not paying attention.
Yeah, it almost had to be like on King's Row and five of them gathered on the point.
I've been trying to figure out a way to launch D.Va's mech up and use the explosion, mm-hmm. because I feel like that's the way to do it. Like, if you can launch it up and then land it in a certain position where people aren't seeing it just coming at you, I think that's the better way to do it. But even that is kind of hard.
I think I've seen videos of people doing that, and I think what they do is you see the countdown, like the circle for the timer. I think when it gets down to like 75% is when they'll eject out of the mech with it elevating, with it flying in the air to where it'll land on the ground at the point of detonation.
Hmm.
Yeah, so somewhere around that time, and depending on the arc that you take, it could be effective. Like on Volskaya, if you're launching yourself so that it flies over that room onto the middle of the control point. And the blast is long enough that it'll affect anybody that stays inside that room that's not behind that small bit of cover.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Literally any piece of cover can block it. I mean, you could stand behind the payload and land like on the corner of the payload, and you could literally be 2 feet from it because you're in the corner. It doesn't affect you. So, you know, there are obviously tweaks that can be done to D.Va. Other than that, I really think a lot of the other, you know, all the other tanks are very well balanced. I'm not very good with Winston, but I know some people that are, and they wreck face with him. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you don't really need to buff him or anything. So,
yeah,
maybe. And Roadhog is actually pretty squishy for a,
right.
because he doesn't have any shields, he doesn't have any armor or anything.
Right.
So pretty much he takes lots of damage.
Yeah, he can heal himself, but that takes a few seconds, and you better do it behind cover, or else you're gonna get finished off by somebody else. A McCree that flashes you and fans the hammer you, of course, and rolls and fans the hammer again, and you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move on to a pretty fun group of players, the supports of Lucio, Mercy, Symmetra, and Zenyatta. Zenyatta could probably use some buffs.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think Zenyatta is the most balanced character in the game, to be perfectly honest with you. When it comes to support, my 4 of my top 5 are support characters. You know, obviously D.Va's my top. But then I come in with Lucio, Mercy, Symmetra, and Zenyatta is following them up and with a lot of hours, you know, 4, 4, 3, 2. So, you know, a lot of hours just looking at that, the stats right there. I love the supports. I think Zenyatta, a lot of people just don't know how to play him right because there's like Zenyatta's like that middle aggressive guy. Like, I think all the other supports, even Lucio to a most extent, aren't really, you know, like, well, Symmetra, I don't know if you'd even classify her really as support, but Mercy and Lucio, they're really kind of like there to be alive and be an annoyance, but Zenyatta is really, you know, going in attack. So, and I don't think people attack with him enough.
Yeah, but the concern there I think a lot of people have is that he's too squishy in that sense if he's going to attack.
Well, I think maybe
he can be pretty powerful going on to attack.
I think the only thing you could probably do that I would say would be fine would be to increase his movement speed a little bit. He does, like, not move very well.
Yeah. If you die and have to go back the long way to battle, that can take a long time.
Other than that, I played Zenyatta, and I've gone on, like, I think one time I went on a 20-person kill streak with him. So, you know, really knowing how to attack, how to retreat. And one thing I really like about Zenyatta, although it might seem a little weird, you know, even though he does have low health, he only has 50 health and then 100 shields. Mm-hmm. So his shield regenerates. And so, you know, you don't have to always back up and heal. Like with a lot of the other support characters, you kind of have to back up, you know, or play a little bit, you know, passively while you wait for the heal to come into effect, while Zenyatta tends to heal a little bit faster.
All right, so Symmetra is the other turret character, although her turrets function a little differently. She can kind of serve as area denial. She can kind of almost kind of run recon on one side. And, you know, I know Temple of Anubis, I like putting my turrets on the right side. And if somebody destroys them, I can tell people that someone's trying to flank from the right or something. And the likely scenario is that my turrets have done some damage because people get smart about placement of their turrets where it's difficult to see. In Hollywood, you can put them in bushes. You can put them above doors where nobody's going to see until they get through. So they're going to do some damage. And her gun is very powerful because it increases DPS over time that you hold on to your target. So
And it doesn't instantly fade away either. So, you know, if your target loses contact with your stream, it loses some power, but then can lock on still with a higher power than it started with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Symmetra is one of those characters that people would like to see nerfed, but I think she's perfectly balanced because her turrets are – anybody can destroy her turrets. You can punch her turret and destroy it. Yeah, there's 25
hit points.
Yeah, their health on those turrets, they're annoying, don't get me wrong, but they're easy to destroy, which is why she doesn't really need a nerf.
And they're really short range.
Yeah, so yes, annoying, really annoying, but dealable, you know, especially if you have a team that, you know, is doing their thing, you know, a team that's cooperating. You know, someone come in, destroy the turrets, can move in. Yeah. You know, if Symmetra tries to come in and place the turrets back, you kill her.
Yeah.
So, and obviously her, you know, she doesn't have any really strong attacks.
Yeah.
You know, she's got add a shield and place a turret. So I feel like she needs a strong gun. Even her super is just a teleporter, which can't even be earned until the teleporter is destroyed.
Right.
Which I never understood that. If anything needs to be changed, I don't know.
I think that's a kind of a weird thing. I maybe I would say I think it's fine
that because she can't... the teleporter can easily be destroyed. So I don't understand why she can't earn a teleporter until the teleporter is gone.
Because I think a decent Symmetra with good placement could always be placing teleporters down. Or
there but isn't might... that the point? One of the main points of having a Symmetra on your team.
I would say it would be fine if you maybe made it easier for her to get her teleporter. Make it, you know, decrease the timer. The only one I would really decrease the timer on. I kind of agree with them not allowing them to have, you know, earning it, because you could easily be putting them down a lot. And I think there should be some time where, you know, if someone comes and destroys the teleporter, they're not immediately putting the teleporter back.
Mm. It's also fun to put turrets by health packs.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, because not... I mean, if they destroy your turrets, you know, they're probably going to see it after they pick up the health pack, and they're going to be low on health, so you're kind of keeping them in a way out of the battle for a little while, because they're probably thinking, oh, shoot, I got to get another health pack again before I'm back. And also, I didn't really figure this out until recently, but if in King of the Hill, she can be very powerful. If your team is able to get control of the point, she can set up shop and, you know, good luck trying to capture.
I feel like playing Symmetra on King of the Hill is try-hardy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to play Symmetra on King of the Hill, you're trying way too hard. Because I do think on King of the Hill, she's probably one of the more powerful characters because of that. You are right. But again, it's a little try-hardy in my opinion.
Yeah. I saw one person do it in the first round and we lost. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try that out. And sure enough, it worked really well.
Yeah.
And if you know, we haven't talked about our healers, primary healers.
Lucio. Talk about Lucio, my main character. Yes, especially when you're doing capture points, speed up at the very beginning, get there first.
Mm-hmm.
Lucio is my second most played character.
I don't know. I have a lot of attack people that are up there higher.
I love Lucio. I'm you know, he's the character that. You know, in Call of Duty, we make fun of the fact that we're tired of wall running, but with him, wall running is so satisfying. I was very, very disappointed because, you know, one thing Jero is going to be doing, which he probably should have mentioned at the top of the show, he's going to be making a video of, you know, with various gameplays we've done, and he's going to be putting the audio over that. So you're going to be able to watch and play, or watch us play it while we talk about it. And I had this really awesome gameplay, which I tried to save, but I hit the wrong button and saved just a screenshot of Lucio, where I was basically riding up and down the well, because we were losing the point, and it was 99% in overtime, and I was literally just poking my head up of the well, getting the hey, someone touched the point, then jumping back down the well. Even occasionally I jumped up, shot someone down the well, jumped back down the well, and I was just constantly riding the well, and it was so much fun. Like, I love that, you know, especially once you change his jump or his wall ride to L1, it just becomes so much fun to use his ability, and he becomes really effective. And especially his environmental kills, like, I played one game, we were playing, and these idiots kept coming on the right-hand side on the Lungjun Tower, I believe it's called, whatever, the tower map.
Yeah.
And I got, like, 7 environmental kills because they kept coming, and I just, like, pop, pop. It was like, fine, keep coming. So, you know, it's just, he is really legitimately a great character.
That's actually a really good way to survive a Roadhog.
Yeah.
Yeah. One time I did get hooked by the Roadhog, and he's like, you're coming with me. It's like, damn it. And then there's Mercy. What do you think about her ability to revive her teammates, especially in defensive situations and escorting the payload?
She's amazing. Kill the Mercy first.
Yeah, I like the concept of Mercy, but I haven't really played Mercy all that much.
I suck at reviving people. I don't like Maybe our team's just always way too scattered. I always like feel like I pre-jack or something, and I just can't get that four or five. Get a bunch of people. I get like one or two, maybe. Or maybe I'm just like a little bit out of range, and I only get two people or one person when I thought I was going to get two or three. I love Mercy, though. She's a character I enjoy. For a character where 90% of the time you're running behind somebody else, you know, and boosting or healing them, she's just – it's fun to play her because a really good Mercy can change the game. So I have a lot of fun playing Mercy, so that's why I play her a lot. I will admit I do play support a lot. One reason why is because I'm one of the last people to select the character most of the time because I'm waiting to see what other people select. And then I don't – so like last night I got kind of annoyed with it. I think you were in the game with us because I'll sit there like, hey, everyone pick their characters. Like no one picked a support or a tank. Which should I pick? And you're like, pick whatever does you. I'll go, well, I should be I'll pick a tank. But we're going to lose without support. And then everyone was like getting angry at me, like, why did you pick support? Yeah, I was like, yeah, I was my subtle way of, I was like, that's my subtle way of telling you assholes that we need a support. So, and a tank. Because especially on like the maps where you attack and you have to, you know, escort the payload, you really need at least one tank, you know, to do that. So, just so they can have someone taking some damage. And, of course, one support, because if no one's healing anybody while you're pushing the thing, obviously you get some health from the thing, but not enough to really make a huge deal when you need, like, a Mercy or even just a Lucio, just a passive healing, or a Zenyatta that can, you know, heal one person that's a little bit lower.
For the longest time, I didn't even know the payload even healed you.
Yeah, play the objective. That's the thing I think with.
But see, I mainly play Lucio, and I mainly am healing anyway. So it's one of those things where there's no way for me to have noticed that.
Yeah, I generally it like.
Says payload healing or something.
Right.
Well, no, it just says payload, and you get the objective points, but it doesn't say anything about healing.
Right. Yeah. I generally like playing as Lucio more because of the proximity healing. I feel like if people are around you and around the payload, he's, you know, really good on King of the Hill, like you were mentioning, and he can speed up his healing process, which can be clutch in certain times.
One of my favorite things to do recently in the last few days is anytime we play a late Ling Zhong Tower, I like to pick Soldier 76 because I know some one of the enemy teams is going to be Lucio. And I'll save it and wait for, like, we played a game, I believe it was last night, where there was two Lucios on the enemy team. And as soon as I got my super, I used it, and I killed those two Lucios bouncing around like they were nothing. So I was like, that's a great way to counter Lucio right there. Just because he can be so hard to hit with a good person riding around, jumping a lot. He can be very hard to hit. So, Soldier 76 is a great way just to counter him. Like, aimbot them.
Right. So maybe instead of let's maybe talk about some of the finer points of the game now, like the we kind of talked about a little bit with like building up your ultimates, but how the game kind of keeps score of everything, that's really cool. Customization options per hero is really cool. Like with Widowmaker, you can adjust the sensitivity on her sniper. Lucio, you can change the jump to L1 like Steve recommended. Sprint, you can change that to L3 for Soldier, just like every other first-person game. There's some really nice stuff in this game as far as customization options.
And it keeps some cool stats, too. Like, that's the thing about this game. This game really knew what players wanted. It wanted people to, you know, really kind of see the stats, customize the characters. I mean, from the sensitivity. But, you know, Blizzard doesn't really make FPS games. And for all those idiots saying, oh, well, what about Activision and Call of Duty? Blizzard is basically a separate company. They're not like, they might be Activision Blizzard, but they operate autonomously. So, so just seeing a lot of these stat stuff, even if you link your accounts, you can go to their webpage and see all of this stuff. I don't know if anyone here has.
Yeah. I was literally just checking that out because I was like, I wonder if I could just pull it up online instead of just booting up my PS4.
You have to link it on PS4. You just got to link your account. You log into your Battle.net account, and then bam. That's what I did. And I have it on my webpage right now. I'm looking at the stats.
um, Sorry.
We all just stopped and looked
at everybody's stats. Looking at their stats. But
I have 40 hours in the game.
Yeah, I have 50 or so, something like that.
I don't have nearly as much.
I'm like level 62.
One thing, we were running in a lot today, a lot of level 100s. So a lot of guys that passed the, and they have the star on their name now, so they have like star 26. Yeah. So we were running into a bunch of them today. So they're putting in like 80 hours. That's what I think how long it probably takes. It takes probably about 80 hours to get to that full 100, a little less, a little more, depending on your skill.
Yeah. Loot boxes, they're fun to get, and early on, I would say they're worth, you know, if you're big enough into the game, you know, buy a few or whatever. But I think as you get into the later levels, you find out you get what you like, because the likely scenario is you're going to get coins from duplicates, coins just from the purple or gold, and then you can just buy whatever you want, and then you get it when you get it, and that's that.
I bought like what I think $10 early, $10 or $20 early on, and I like that because they're all cosmetic, so it's not like it's really doing anything. I just wanted cool skins, but you're right, because like, you know, buying any more after that, you're just getting lots of duplicates, and you know, and one thing I did notice, I do think that they decrease the kind of gold you get out of them, because maybe it's just I'm just terrible luck, because I was counting them. At one point, I got to 16 levels, and I didn't get a single gold item. And then I had $2 in my wallet, so I bought two crates, and I got one gold item. So, whatever. It might be just bad luck, but I feel like they did something. One thing I do want to see, because you know they're going to be coming out with more skins and more stuff, I would like to see the CSGO style of crates. In other words, don't just create a bunch of new DLC items and put them with all the other crap. I like to see them create a huge list of stuff and then make, like, this is the deluxe or the diva crate, you know, or the whatever crate. And you know you can get this crate and get these specific kind of items.
Mm-hmm. They would probably do, like, season 2 crates or something.
Like that, yeah, exactly. So, that I would like to see something like that. So,
and the stats are really good too, because of how you kind of look at how you play overall and how important the objective is, and that a lot of people, we've played with some people that have kind of talked about wanting a team deathmatch mode, which I just don't think really works all that well in this game, because there are characters that are going to be easily much better at that, and you know, what point is there to picking a Reinhardt or something like that if you're going to go up against Reapers or McCrees that are just going to melt you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, team deathmatch makes no sense in this game mode unless you were only doing certain kind of characters, because again, like, some characters just aren't designed to do tons of damage. Like, what's the point of having a Symmetra teleporter in a team deathmatch?
Yeah.
You know, what's the point of having even Reinhardt's shield in a team deathmatch? Because what are you going to do, just block other people from attacking? You're not really getting any kills. You're not contributing a whole lot. So I agree. I think the team deathmatch just seems pointless.
Yeah. It's fine in shooters that are confined to more specific rules of the types of guns that you can have equipped. I think it's just better for everybody.
What about new characters? When do you, because one of the big promises in this game is all DLC is free from here from now on. So obviously we're going to get some new maps, new characters. When do you think new characters should come? Do you think it should be soon, or would you still say like a couple of months, 3, 4 months, 6 months down the line?
6 months down the line. You know, I think we should at the very least give people time to really learn the characters that they're playing as. I'm not too familiar with League of Legends or those type of games, but they don't introduce characters too often, do they?
No idea. I don't play League.
Yeah, because they introduced a new one, but it seems like, you know, it's an event when it's a new one, because they, you know, we've seen all the marketing that they've done with this and all the, you know, the videos that they made, and you know, it's kind of a big deal when they release a character, so. So in that sense,
I at the very least know that two are in the works, I have no idea what their time frame is, but they are working on it.
Hmm. I think I have no idea when they're going to release them. I don't know if it will be necessarily 6 months. I would almost imagine maybe a 3 month window, simply because, like, that's the time when a lot of games, well, really it takes about a month, but 3 months is the time where a lot of games tend to start getting their first DLC. And even though this is free and not necessarily paid, it keeps interest in the game. If you're only releasing content or new characters once every 6 months, or, you know, after the game's been out for 6 months, they get something new, that might not push a lot of players back into the game. So if you want to keep people coming back, even if it's just one character every 3 months, that would at least kind of give, you know, some life, some longevity to the game, a little more than normal. So,
yeah, that's why I think, you know, I'm hoping for competitive play will be back soon. And I think that's going to be a big thing, because as it is right now, there's not really progression. We're unlocking an occasional item or two from a loot box. But other than that, we're really playing just because we like it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Any map talk? Any things that you like or annoying? I feel like Temple of Anubis is frustrating to play on attack.
I think it's because, one of those. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because, like, my time is vastly different than you guys' time on this game. One thing I find really annoying is the fact that they don't tell you what game you're playing. You just got to know that, like, oh, well, I'm at Temple of Anubis, so it's going to be whatever game type. And I understand, like, after a point, you just know, like, okay, we're attacking on this stage. That we know what's going to happen. But if you're new to the game, that you have so much being thrown at you with learning all the characters, and then you have to learn the specific stages and the game types on those stages. Most games actually tell you what game you're playing, and I kind of feel that, like, Overwatch doesn't tell you that. And it would just be simple, just like a payload escort, yeah, or something like that at the very beginning when it tells you the stage. That would be nice, and it would be a little simple thing to add, and I wish they would do
that. Just adopt the naming that we've given it. You know, we call hybrid one where you capture a point and then escort the payload, or mm-hmm. escort King of the Hill, we call it that. I mean, if they want to come up with their own unique name for that, whatever. But, you know, that would be just a simple fix, I would imagine, to put in.
Yeah, agreed. I think, though, I think that's not that big of a deal. Overall, I don't think there's really any problem with the maps, as much as there is a problem with the characters. Like, you know, as you said, you know, you take Temple of Anubis,
yeah,
and suddenly you make it so that, you know, you're facing two or three Torbjorns and a Bastion, mm-hmm. and a Symmetra sitting around, and it becomes so much of a pain because there's unbalance there.
Yeah.
And
what's annoying about
that's the
that
big thing
is with Genji and Hanzo, they have this ability where they can run up walls. They can't do that to kind of flank left or right. They have to go in through that main door. Mm-hmm. They do that a little bit on Hanamura, where you have that small little window to jump up on the left side with Hanzo or Genji.
You know, I don't feel like it's too hard to get in, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can get in left or even right with certain characters. Again, the problem just comes when you're facing so many mm-hmm. Torbjorns, and you're having to face, like, three or four turrets, you know.
Yeah.
It becomes such a huge problem because you can't just say, oh, let me just flank around this Torbjorn and I'll be all good, because there's mm-hmm. another Torbjorn sitting right behind you, you know, or sitting right there, and his turret's going to then wreck you. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think it's more of a problem with the balance of characters and less on the issue, especially on a map like Temple of Anubis, where, you know, you put your turret in one spot and it can cover both the objective and the entrance way if you put it right spot, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, you shouldn't be able to do that, you know. Again, it takes the skill out of playing someone like Torbjorn, because you literally just throw a turret down and then hammer when you're bored.
I get frustrated when I play as Reinhardt in there and I'm trying to block for my teammates, but the shield is down within 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's like, well, I mean, what is the point even of playing this if I'm not going to be able to be effective and help my teammates? Mm-hmm. So that's when I get frustrated.
That's when you have to switch characters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the thing about this game. Yeah. When a strategy is not working for you, switch up your character and switch to a setup that's going to counter whatever your enemy is currently using. That's the thing I love about this game. It's just a matter of working with your team to actually do something like that.
I think a lot of people get set on their character. Oh, well, I'm playing this character. I have 60% of my super already earned. I don't want to switch characters now. I mean, again, I was playing earlier today, and we all start out with certain characters. I was playing Roadhog, and a couple of the other guys I was playing were playing these characters, and it was on which one's your map? Dorado. It was on Dorado, the escort map, and right out of the bat, we kind of got wrecked, you know? It was, like, really bad. They moved that thing up super far to the final, like, you know, the indoor part of the map really quickly. And so we were like, well, this isn't working. All three of us changed our character to something else. I was playing with three other guys. And, you know, just that one change made the difference. We held them all back from there, and we just started dominating at that point and won the game. And it was just like, you know, we found something that worked, and mm-hmm. we kept stuck with it. So don't be scared to change your character. I think a lot of people just kind of get stuck on that.
Well, I want to be Genji. Be stubborn about it.
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing, because I think – you know, our team, we win quite a bit, but we also lose quite a bit. And I think there's a stubbornness there that we're at times playing as six blueberries with each other instead of playing as six greens.
I think that's the problem, too, though. But see, I think that comes down to, I think we get frustrated because it's so easy to defend. Because of the whole cheesy aspect of it. I mean, we were doing it last night. We were saying, let's be assholes back, you know. Let's unleash our Torbjorn, our Symmetras, and our Bastions, just a load of turrets, and we, you know, be those assholes back. So I think part of the issue and part of the frustration comes from the unbalance of certain things. And that's why I really don't like too much assault and defend maps. At least the ones that are like Dorado, but like Hollywood, or not Hollywood. Well, I guess it kind of like Hollywood. Anyone where you have to run and you know capture a point first, and not just push a payload. Like that's just where it gets so frustrating to me.
Hmm. Anything else to bring up about the game? I think just in the general sense. I'm going to be playing this game a lot over the summer because other than, I think, after Mirror's Edge Catalyst, this is the last really major release for games that I can think of over the summer. So I think I'm going to be playing this quite a lot. And then, you know, the new Destiny expansion will come out. I'll be playing that. So I think I'll definitely be playing Overwatch for quite a while.
I really think Overwatch has become that game for me that I really enjoy playing. You know, Call of Duty over the years has been getting kind of frustrating. You know, I haven't really been feeling it as much. And I feel like Overwatch has filled that need for me. Just because it's just so much fun. And the biggest thing and the biggest reason why I liked Call of Duty was the idea that you had classes and guns and you could really make a character and customize it. And so each game felt so different because you were, you know, selecting different classes or different stuff. And in this game, each game feels different because you're literally selecting characters that completely change the way you play. Mm-hmm. So, and it's that customization, those number of characters that really make this game fun for me. It's because if I'm feeling frustrated and I'm not getting anywhere, I can go and just pull out a Mercy and, you know, follow people and kind of chill back a little bit, you know, not have to worry about my accuracy as much. Let someone else do the shooting mm-hmm. and still be a valuable teammate. So, you know, it's just fun for me.
Yeah. Unlike you guys, I'm questioning how much I'm going to be able to play this game. Overall, my gaming has, decrease significantly, but more importantly, Star Ocean is coming out towards the end of the month, and I've kind of been waiting for that game to come out, and so I might have to take some time off to play that. I'm not 100% sure yet. But I do enjoy playing this game. I just wish I was playing at the same time everybody else is. It's just that everybody else usually plays at like midnight when I am asleep.
They play way too late. I've been up to 2 a.m. some nights, and I gotta stop doing that. I gotta work in a few hours.
The joy of working at 10 o'clock in the morning and being able to sleep in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah, that is just not even an option for me.
I have no problem playing till 2 because I work late, so hey.
See, I get up at 4:30. I can't stay up until midnight and then get up in a few hours.
Yeah, the game is incredibly addicting, and it's always, one more and someone comes in, I'll play one more game. Yeah, we gotta get this win.
That is actually something I do want to mention. I don't have a lot of time put into this game, but I do like turn it on and play it very frequently because you can play a few games in like 20 minutes and I could be good and just move on. It's not a game where like when you sit down, like some games you sit down and play it and then you have to commit a significant chunk of time to play.
Yeah.
Overwatch is not like that because it's all multiplayer. Mm-hmm. So you just turn it on. Each game only lasts maybe max of 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of surprising how pick up and play it is for a game that's much more objective based than like a team deathmatch or something. And the games can go on a little long, and if overtime lasts, sometimes it feels like 10 minutes. You kind of feel like, wow, this match won't end. All right, so thank you for listening to our EXT on Overwatch. If you have any comments on our thoughts about the character balance or any suggestions that you would propose to these all these characters, let us know in the comments at anavision.org where this episode will be posted. And also, as Steve mentioned, there will be a YouTube version with various gameplay from the three of us included underneath the audio of this podcast, so that'll give you another option. A lot of podcasts out there kind of do the YouTube thing with the audio over gameplay.
Also, you can leave a comment on Facebook if you want to come and join our Facebook group and talk about which characters should be nerfed or not nerfed. Or maybe you're one of those McCree douches and like, well, no, McCree's awesome.
Yeah, I got a 40 fan hammer kills once. I mean, that is impressive. That many kills, yeah.
If you get 40 fan hammer kills, I will acknowledge you're a better McCree than most.
Yeah, and if you're a dirty Genji player, that's blocking my flashbang.
We were playing this one Genji, and I was being that dirty. I don't play McCree very often. He's literally like my third most played, mm-hmm. Third least played character in the game, but next to Torbjorn. And Bastion, so I'm not a douche. Anyway, I was playing as him, and I went up to Genji, and every time I threw my stun, the dude countered it like a Banff, mm-hmm. And it was frustrating as all get.
Yeah, good Genji players have to know a McCree wants to do that to you. he kind of plays into your own hands that way. So, anavision.org is the website. We'll have this audio available, video on YouTube. Facebook group is the most active place for discussion. We also have the Twitter and every other social network, so do check us out on all of those places. For Steve, for XCOM, I am Jero, and we're going to play some more Overwatch. We will see you next time on the Anavision Podcast. Believe it.